prayer, the scripture reading that has preceded the lesson. Again, thank you so much for being here and remaining for the afternoon service. Now, the task that's been given to me is to try to keep you awake. I know that you've dined sumptuously and the bellies are full, and I have about 5 minutes, and I've already wasted two of them already. I've been preaching now for about 30-plus years. I learned a long time ago, right after a meal, that you don't try to preach very long, that you speak up and you shut up. And so I leaned over to my fine wife and said, how long should I preach? 50 minutes, 45 minutes? And again, she said, 10. And my son leaned and looked at me as like, 5 would do. But I do have something in my heart from God's word that I want to share with you. I've been up since about 4:30 this morning. I told my wife to call down. They set the alarm clock for 5:30. I said, I wanted to get up at 5:30. And I said, well, Rhonda, because the alarm might not go off, call down, and I want a wake-up call at 4:30. I mean, 5:30. And so at 4:30, I woke up. And I think I better call down and tell them forget about the wake-up call. But I've been awake since about 4:30. I'm excited about the meeting. I haven't eaten anything. Now my energy level is gone. And so even though I feel like preaching 2 hours, I don't think I could do it if I wanted to. So if you could give me about 15 minutes of your time, I'm going to do everything I can to be through 15, 20 minutes at the max. Now, my wife says, Sammy, every time you talk about you're going to preach 15 or 20 minutes, we get one of those hour and a half lessons. And so I'm going to do everything I can to be mindful of the time. And again, but I want to say to the congregation, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Thank you for every card that you mail to our home, and we appreciate it, and we were encouraged by every card. I'm blessed. I want you to know that if the meeting end of the day and the elders decide, Sammy, we want you to go on home. I'm blessed by being here just this day. And I want you to know that you have enriched my life. And every now and then a preacher needs a shot in the arm. Every now a preacher needs to be encouraged. And I've been encouraged. And I want to, from the bottom of my heart, let you know how much I appreciate every word of encouragement. As we're going to talk about heaven, I want you to know this. I look forward to the day of being with each of you in heaven. Amen. Let me share with you a few thoughts. I've already abbreviated the lesson. I was sitting there rewinding my mind and rethinking. Instead of preaching a 45-minute lesson, I'm going to give you what I want to share with you in about 15 minutes. And I want to talk to you from the heart. This is not one of those preaching sermons. If you wanted me to preach, you come back tomorrow night and every night. But this lesson is not a preaching lesson. Is one that I want to talk to you from my heart about something that's dear to me, that's heaven. You see, that's what I live for. I live for one day of making it to heaven. Because when everything is said and done, I want to make it to heaven. There are 2 points I want to make in this lesson. First, I want to give you some reasons why you ought to want to make heaven your home. I want to give you a few reasons. I could give you 10, 20. But if you bear with me, I give you 3 or 4 reasons why you ought to want to make heaven your home. And then I want to give you my final point, and that is conditions necessary to make heaven your home. Let's start with why. Reasons why you ought to want to go to heaven. If you have your copy of God's word, turn to Exodus chapter 33. Here is the first reason I want to give you why you ought to want to go to heaven, because it's one of the reasons, it's not number one, but it's one of the reasons I want to go to heaven. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 18, Moses is talking with God, and the King James says, and he pleaded with God, paraphrasing, he beseeched God, he pleaded with God to let God see let him see God's glory. He wanted to see God's face. Look at verse 20. God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. No one can see the face of God and live. And he went on to tell Moses that, Moses, I'm going to give you an opportunity to see something. You can't see my face, but I'm going to let you see my back part. If you look at the last verse, 23 of that chapter, that God allowed Moses to see the back part of his body, but not his face. You know why I want to go to heaven? Is that in heaven, I'll get to see the face of God. I don't know about you. I just want to see his face. I want to look up on his face. Oh, that song we sing back in Tennessee. Oh, I want to see him. I want to look up on his face. You won't know why I want to go to heaven. I want to see God. I want to see the magnificent, the loving God that loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son. I want to see his face. Look in John chapter 1, verse 18. And in the New Testament, John writes that no man can see God's face and live. He said it again in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 12. No man can see God's face and live. You know why? God is pure and God is innocent and God cannot look upon sin. And therefore, no man, regardless of what he has said, no woman, regardless of what she has said, has ever seen the face of God. But one day, if I live right, and if I remain faithful, one day I am going to see the face of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14. John gives the picture of those in heaven. And he tells us if you make it to heaven, this is one of the benefits. They get to see the face of God. That's why you ought to want to make it to heaven. That's why I encourage you in this afternoon lesson to keep on keeping on, because you remain faithful. One day you're going to see the face of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the innocent in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, you want to see a beautiful verse? Turn to Psalms chapter 17. Look at verse 15. Listen to what David said, and I can shout out amen to what David said, because I feel the same way. David said, if I can just see his face, if I can just see his righteousness, if I can just see his glory, the King James says, I'll be satisfied. I don't know what satisfies you, but if I can just see his face, I be satisfied. You see, that's what I'm living for. What are you living for? I'm living for the day that I can see the face of God, to see the glory of God. What kind of face he will have, I don't know. What kind of body I will have, I don't know. But I know that the day I'm resurrected, I will have the body that he has. And I'll be able to see his face. There's a second reason I want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven that I can say, God, thank you. I want to borrow from Goldman Powell. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ah, thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, I want to see his face. I want to look upon his face, and I want to look into his eyes, and I want to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, so much for loving a sinner like Sammy. Thank you so much, God, for loving a worm like me, someone who's unworthy of your love. You see, I have three sons that I'm very proud of, every one of them. And I love them each dearly. And I have my youngest one with me. And I love you all very much. I've gotten to know you a little bit. And I love you and I appreciate you. But I tell you what, there's not a one of you that I will let one of my sons die for. I'm sorry. Not a one of you. I have three. There's not a one of you that I will let one of my sons die for. But God only had one son, and he let him die for me. I tell you, I appreciate that he could love me that much. And every day, I'm driven by the fact that I want to let God know how much I appreciate him. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to say every day forever, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to say to Jesus, thank you for suffering for me. You see, in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was in the garden praying, he didn't want to die. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to go through that agony, but he thought about Sammy. And he went to pray and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way that we can convince Sammy Jones that we love him,
that we want him to spend an eternity in heaven with us. Father, is there any other way? There was no other way. Let not my will be done, but let thy will be done. He went back the second time. He said, Father, have we thought it through? Is there another way we can convince Sammy that we want him in heaven? Is there any other way for me going through a crucifixion and suffering? There's no other way. Let thy will be done. The Bible said he went back the third time. I don't know if you've ever sweated so much that there's blood in your sweat. The Bible said that Jesus had drops of sweat filled with blood. He was so intense. Oh, Father, have we thought it out? Is there any other way? You see, when I get beside myself, I think about that amazing love. And that's why I can't leave the church. That's why I can't be unfaithful to God. That's why I can't be unfaithful to Jesus. He loves me too much, and I want to make it to heaven. Amen. To say thank you to somebody can love me that much. I know Rhonda loves me, but she doesn't love me that much. Somebody come in right now and say, Sam, I'm going to shoot you if you don't sit down. Rhonda won't say, I'll take it. She said, yeah, shoot him. Oh, but Jesus loves me that much, and I want to say thank you. I want to say to God, thank you. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 48. When I read that verse, being a father, you see, if you're not a father, this verse won't mean as much to you. But Jesus was on that cross. And when the ninth hour had come, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And paraphrasing it in our terminology, if that was Will, or that was Eric, or that was Jared. And they said, oh, Daddy, Daddy, the pain is too intense. Daddy, take me down. There, I've got him. But God in heaven looked down from the windows of heaven and saw his only son suffering. And his son crying out, Father, Father, oh, Father. And God let his son suffer for me. That's why I want to make it to heaven. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. There's not a father in here, a mother in here that will see their child, allow their child to suffer and not go to the rescue. But God allowed his only child. How can I not want to make it to heaven? How can you not want to make it to heaven? I plead with you this afternoon, stay on the path to heaven, that you can get to heaven and we can get to heaven and say, God, thank you, as we look into his face. As we look into his face, I want to say to the Holy Spirit, thank you for coming down and guiding the men who wrote the New Testament and wrote parts of the Old Testament. Thank you for guiding them into all the truth. That we can know your will, and as we stand at the judgment bars of God, be able to hear the word said, well done. There's a third reason that I want to make it to heaven. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It talks about when the trumpet shall sound and time shall be no more. That Jesus is coming back and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. You know why I want to go to heaven? It's not just to see the face of God. Not just to say to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you. But I want to be reunited with my grandmother, Naomi. Naomi's gone to heaven. Oh, I long for the day to be reunited. Brother Will Whitaker, who baptized me on January the 17th, 1971, I want to see my daddy. In the gospel. I want to say thank you, Brother Whitaker, for the powerful sermons you preached. I want to say to Brother Luther Bowles, who encouraged me to become a gospel preacher, thank you, he's gone on. I want to say to a little lady that grew up in my home congregation that every Sunday, as I was a little snotty-nosed boy running around there, she used to always tell me, you're going to be the greatest preacher that ever lived one day. She believed in me. She saw potential in me when I didn't see it in myself. Sister Gillum, oh, I want to see her. Oh, I want to see her. And one day, I'm going to die. and I'm going to leave my sons here. I hope that I precede them. One day I'm going to die. I hope I precede Rhonda. But you know what keeps me going on is the fact that one day I'm going to see them again. And not for an hour, not for a month, not for years. I'm going to see them forever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Oh, I want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. Don't you? Oh, don't you? You say, I want to go to heaven to see his face. I want to go to heaven to say thank you. I want to go to heaven to be with my wife forever. I don't know whether I know Rhonda as my wife, but I tell you what, I think God's going to give us some remembrance. How much, I don't know. But heaven is going to be a place worth it all. That's a fourth reason I want to go to heaven, because in heaven there won't be any sad days. There won't be any pain, you know that. There won't be any sorrow. There won't be an endless day. There'd be just one happy day every day. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more B-I-L-L-S. Oh, I don't have to worry about a mortgage. I don't have to worry about my sons coming to me with their hands out. I don't have to worry about those letters you get. Oh, I tell you what, heaven's going to be truly worth it all. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Look in Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 4. No tears in heaven. We just finished singing that song. In heaven there'll be no tears. And if there are tears, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus will take his finger and wipe the tears from your eyes. Because if you get to heaven and you ever cried from joy? Oh, I've cried several times, many times, hundreds of times from joy. I remember one of the occasions is when my oldest son was born. I walked in, and I was going to be one of those dads. I was going to be there and on the delivery. And my wife, that first pain hit her, and I was gone out there. I was outside. And I said, Mr. Jones, she's getting ready. I said, I'll be back in just a minute. I'll be back. I couldn't take it. I have a weak stomach. And after she gave birth in about 12 minutes, all the babies were born in less than 30 minutes. She's one of those that she went into labor and she had a baby. But nonetheless, I came back in and I was in there and I saw the son. I started crying for two reasons. First was joy, pure joy. I just started crying. The second was, man, that was the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my life. He had two knots on his forehead and he was red, looked like the devil. And you know the cone heads? I said, Lord, is his head going to stay that way? If you see my oldest son, he has a perfectly round head because they say you have to shape it. And I got him home, I started shaping that head. His head is perfectly round. I kid you not, perfectly round. And in about 25 minutes later after he was born, the doctor came in to check on my wife. Guess where I was? I was in her bed, and she was over me talking about, Sam, it's going to be okay. Kid you not. 25 minutes, she was up, and I was in the bed. That's why there's 7 years between my first child and my second child. Women, I couldn't. Hey, good thing women. Let me move on. Don't you want to make it to heaven?
Amen.
Oh, I want to make it to heaven to be reunited. Oh, one day my mom's going to die. One day my dad's going to die. But I hope to see them again in heaven. And I hope to see you in heaven. Please, I beg you to stay on the right path so that we can be reunited in heaven. And surely it'll be worth it all. Let's go to my final point. What are the conditions to go to heaven? Turn to Psalms 15, verse 1. The psalmist raised this question. Who shall dwell in a tabernacle of the Lord? Who shall dwell in God's house? And the Bible clearly answers and gives us the conditions necessary to make heaven your home. Isaiah, the messianic prophet, said in Isaiah chapter 35, verse number 8, that God was going to give the righteous a highway. You see, the way to heaven, there's a highway. Not highways, a highway. And Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, Sammy, I'm the highway. If anyone wants to go to heaven, they must come by me. There's only one highway that leads to heaven.
There's no highway of your choice. Jesus is the highway to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you must comply with the conditions of, we talked about it this morning, a man with all the authority, Jesus to make heaven your home. Now let's go to a book and we'll stay there and make 3 points and the lesson to be yours. What are the conditions necessary to go to heaven? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 20. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. Peter gives us the conditions necessary to make heaven your home. The first condition, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, is that we must escape the corruption of this world. Well, what is that? You have to be converted. You have to be converted. In order to go to heaven, you must get on the highway. And the first condition to get on the highway that leads to heaven is that you must be converted. You must change. You must turn from this world and turn to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. You must be translated out of darkness and to the marvelous kingdom of light of God's dear Son. What is that? You have to obey the gospel. That's the conversion that must take place. That's why Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. That's why Jesus says in Mark 16, 15, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. The gospel will convert you. The gospel will change you. And when you are converted, guess what? You're on the highway that leads to heaven. Have you been converted? Have you escaped the pollution of this world? If you haven't been converted, then you're not on a highway that leads to heaven. There's only one highway. And Jesus says, everyone that's on that highway must come by me. What is it, Jesus, you would have me to do on the day of Pentecost? When Peter preached that first gospel sermon, look at Acts 2, verse 36. He told them Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. He told them Jesus Christ is King of kings. And the Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do for what? To get on that highway that leads to heaven, to be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. And the same day, Acts 2, 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the highway. The same day that was added unto them about 3,000 souls, praising God, there were 3,000 added to the church. That day, they were added to the highway. So the first condition, in order to make heaven your home, you need to be converted. That's a second condition. Look at 2 Peter again. Look at verse chapter 2. Look at verse 20. You must remain unentangled with this world. What do you mean there? You must live a life of sanctification, brothers and sisters and friends. I want to talk to church people for just a moment. You see, it's not enough to get on the highway. It's not enough to be converted. Just going down into a water of a grave of baptism is good, but if you stop there, you'll never make it to heaven. You must continue to give God a life of sanctification, and that means we're in this world, but we're not of this world. I may have told you this when I was here last time, that I heard this at Freed Hartman Lectureship, and it just stayed with me. There's nothing wrong with a boat being in water, but there's something wrong when water gets into the boat. What's the point? There's nothing wrong with Christians being in this world, but there's something wrong when the world gets into Christians. Amen. And what Peter is saying, if we're going to make it to heaven, we must remain unentangled with the affairs of this world. That's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, God says, come out, Sammy, from among them, and be ye separated, and I will be your God. You shall be my people. We cannot be of this world. There's nothing wrong with this world. This world is beautiful. God made it. But we cannot love this world. Our mind must be on things above, not on things on this earth. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says we are to keep our mind, our hearts in heaven. If we're going to make it to heaven, it's not enough to be converted. We must give God a life of sanctification. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You know that verse. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You have to study God's word daily. We talked about that this morning, hiding the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God. Third and finally, there's a third condition. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 17. And that is, be steadfast. Be steadfast. I want that to be my last point for the day. As we end this day and contemplate coming back tomorrow and the rest of this week, I want to say this to the congregation here because your great work is known throughout the brotherhood. Be steadfast. Don't quit. I know you're going to have ups and downs in this spiritual life, but keep on keeping on. One of my favorite songs is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I plead with this great body of believers here. Keep doing what you're doing because of you, because of the difference you're making here in West Palm Beach. There will be untold hundreds and thousands of people in heaven because of you. Amen. Keep on keeping on. What you're doing is making a difference. What you're doing is making a difference, not for a few years, but for an eternity. And don't give up. Don't quit. I know you get tired sometimes. I know you get weary. But the Lord hadn't forgotten about you. The Lord hadn't forgotten about you. He's still pulling for you. And when you don't think you don't have a friend, I want you to know the Lord is calling out your name. There have been times when I thought about quitting. There are times when I thought about throwing in the towel. There have been two serious times in my life I thought about never preaching the word of God again. But every time the Lord has come through and said, Sammy, I'm with you. Sammy, I'm with you. I believe in you. Keep on keeping on. Heaven wants you. God wants you in heaven. And I plead with you. I plead with you to remember reasons. There are others I could share with you. Why you want to make it to heaven? Oh, I want to see his face. Why do you want to make it to heaven? I want to say thank you, Lord. Why do you want to make it to heaven? Not only do I want to say thank you, Lord, I want to be reunited to the sweetest lady that ever lived, Naomi. I want to be reunited with a lady that's been in my life for 33 years, 3 years of dating and 30 years of married life. I hope God allows us to live together for another 30 years. One day I'm going to die, and I long for the day when we can spend an eternity in heaven and reflect on these wonderful years and God blessed us. How God blessed us with an invitation from the West Palm Beach to go down and be with them and be encouraged by them. And because of days like today, I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm going to make it to heaven. And I hope that you will utilize days like today to pump yourself up and keep on keeping on. But in order to be on the highway, you've got to be converted. You've got to start the journey. Maybe there's someone here this afternoon that needs to say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get on the highway? What must I do to be in a relationship with God that if I remain steadfast and faithful, I'll hear him say, well done, you must believe with all your heart. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But just believing in him won't save you by itself. That's just the start. You must be willing to confess. As Jesus said, when Pilate said, who art thou? He said, I am the Son of God. And that confession brought death to Jesus. But that confession today will bring you eternal life. If you can come before this audience and say, I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. But Jesus went on to say, Sammy, if you will confess me before men, Matthew 10, 32, I will confess you before my Father. But verse 33, he says, but if you will deny me, if you are ashamed to confess me on that day, it's not that I won't know who you are. It's not that I won't know what you've done, Sammy. On that day, I'll look at you and I'll turn my face from you. That's what he was saying in Matthew chapter 7. On the day of judgment, the Lord will know every one of us. But if we haven't done his will, he'll look at you and he'll turn his face from you. And when the Lord turns his face from you, you'll know where you're going to spend your eternity. But if the Lord looks at you and he smiles, you'll know where you're going to spend an eternity. Right now, what do you need to do to spend an eternity in heaven? You can't hear him, but the Lord is pleading through my voice for you to come home. There's someone in this audience that need to come home, and I'm pleading with you. You need to come home, and I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you not to come to me. I can't give you anything. But the Lord wants to give you salvation. But you've got to get up from where you are. When we sing this invitation song, and come and give me your hand, God, your heart, and we're going to baptize you today for the remission of your sins. And you can leave today being a child of God. And as Revelation 20 verse 6 says, Satan can't touch you. Nobody can take away what God will give you. No tears in heaven. Don't you want to go there? No sorrows ever. Won't it be wonderful there? If you want to go to heaven, we beg you to come as we together stand and sing the invitation song.